And live from the Fortress of Freedom, this is the Steve Gruber Show for Friday, April 12, 2019. Here are three big things you need to know right now. Three, the city of Chicago has run out of patience with hate crime faker Jussie Smollett. He's now being sued by the Windy City for the cost of investigating the fake hate crime he reported. Your move, Jess. Two, the major news media outlets have strangely gone from making fun of Donald Trump and laughing about the crisis at the southern border to finally admitting what's been so obvious for so long. Millions coming in and getting worse by the day. And number one, Julian Assange behind bars today after being kicked out of Ecuador's embassy in London after 7 years in hiding. The United States followed the arrest by filing charges against him for stealing American secrets and posting them on the internet. Hero or villain? It depends on who you ask. Some people refer to Assange as an anti-American slime ball who was working with Bradley Manning to destroy America by hacking into computers and doing real damage. Some say he has blood on his hands for getting people killed. I mean, there's no question that he was working for a decade, leaking things out. And the U.S. government regards him as a dangerous national security criminal. WikiLeaks revealed secrets on the U.S. Guantanamo Bay prison, put out highly sensitive National Security Agency intercepts, published international internal U.S. trade negotiation documents and files from the CIA's ultra-secret Vault 7 hacking program. Some still believe the organization played a central role in the Russian meddling in the 2016 election. The just-concluded investigation by Special Counsel Bob Mueller may still allege that he was involved with Russia and damaging the Clinton campaign. Assange continues to maintain, however, it was not Russia ever. And then, of course, during the campaign, boy, I love reading those WikiLeaks, said the candidate, Donald Trump. In 2017, his Secretary of State, Mike Pompeo, then the director of the CIA, called WikiLeaks a non-state hostile intelligence service. But is he a journalist? If he's only publishing that was gotten for him by Bradley Manning, now Chelsea Manning, but Bradley at the time, and I'm not worried about pronouns, I'm worried about American counterintelligence efforts and American national security, so I don't care. It's Bradley Manning as far as we're concerned here. Three major international media groups, the New York Times, The Guardian, and Der Spiegel, coordinated with WikiLeaks back in 2010 in the publication of secret U.S. files on the Afghan war. So should the New York Times, The Guardian, or Der Spiegel, should people there be standing trial? Should they be going to court? So there's the question for you. Even if he's a scumbag and an anti-American slime ball, is he protected as a journalist? That's a real question. That's a real question. By the way, the former director of the Department of Homeland Security, Jay Johnson, asked that very question yesterday. Is he a hero? Is he a villain? Bite nine. Go.
Well, there may be a claim that what he was doing was legitimate journalist activity.
Right.
And what constitutes a journalist is a more complex question in the age of the internet.
Sure.
But I do not regard him as a hero.
Now, Assange, according to what was written by the Department of Justice back in 2013, would have to be prosecuted for something other than publishing information. Obviously acting as a journalist, like hacking into a network. Ironically, that is the exact charge unveiled by the United States yesterday. The indictment cites one of the largest compromises of classified information in the history of the United States. They're accusing of conspiracy with Bradley Manning to get passwords to crack into the United States computers and then share it with the world. Now the question is, will he get extradited? Will he return here to the United States? I mean, it's a big question. It is a big question. And by the way, Jay Johnson, appearing yesterday, also asked about the ongoing problems at the southern border. That was his area of expertise. He did that for 3 years as the director of Homeland Security for Barack Obama's administration in the White House. And he said, It doesn't matter how you measure it. Of course, there is a crisis. It's bite 10, Jay Johnson.
By any measure, 4,000 arrests in a day, 100,000 in a month. That's the population of the city of Albany, New York, that suddenly shows up on our southern border in 1 month, is a crisis. And it's a crisis because it overwhelms our Border Patrol and our immigration officials' ability to deal with it. And it's a crisis because you have to absorb that population somehow into southern border towns. And so it overwhelms the humanitarian effort on our southern border. It overwhelms our DHS personnel. And frankly, it all emanates from the crisis that's been going on for some time in Central America. That's the most violent region of our world right now. And so one of the things I've been saying continually publicly is that if we're going to be able to deal with this problem, we have to address it at the source.
And he means that in Central America. But here's the big change. I mean, it's only been a few weeks, a month really, since all the major media outlets in this country have been calling it a fake crisis, a manufactured crisis. Donald Trump's making it up. As recently as February, the New York Times fact checker of Trump's State of the Union speech tweeted, quote, President Trump described illegal border crossings as an urgent national crisis. This is false. According to who? But that was according to the New York Times in February. The Washington Post's editorial board said, quote, there is no crisis at the border, end quote, and called Trump's national emergency declaration untethered from truth and reality. And they went further to call it a make-believe emergency. You are a bunch of lying scumbags. You will scuttle this nation's national security for your own means and for your own gains. Because you dislike Donald Trump so much, you will call him a liar when you know damn well it's the truth. Furthermore, the editorial in the Washington Post said this, Mr. Trump's technique is to spin fiction as fact, secure in the knowledge that minds will reel as fact-checkers labor to deconstruct his ziggurat of falsehoods. So let's stick to one big basic truth. There is no crisis at the southern border. Well, that's all changed now, hasn't it? And of course, the same was true at CNN and MSNBC. But now, Wednesday of this week, the New York Times wrote, the U.S. immigration system may have reached a breaking point. Gee, 4 weeks after you ridiculed the president for calling it what it was, it suddenly reached, in 30 days, the breaking point. The article states, it was never like this before. The migrants come now in the middle of the night or the bright of the day. Men and women arrive by the hundreds, caked with dirt, and teens and toddlers in tow. No kidding. The country is now unable to provide either the necessary humanitarian relief for desperate migrants or even basic controls on the number and nature of who is entering the United States. Well, thank you, New York Times, for finally getting it right. The fact of the matter is, it is a crisis. The president was right, and now the mainstream media has no other place to go but to finally tell the truth. It's about damn time. 14 after on a Friday, it's the Steve Gruber Show.
For more than 65 years, Enbridge has been safely delivering the North American energy you rely on to fuel your vehicle, heat your home, and power commerce and manufacturing. We're proud to be a part of communities across Michigan and contribute millions in local property taxes each year, which helps support schools, emergency responders, and local government needs. At Enbridge, we're helping to fuel your quality of life. Learn more at Enbridge.com/Michigan. Enbridge, life takes energy.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to mom. But a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And, well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me. Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
There are kids at some of the schools in our Greater Lansing community who are struggling with basics like food, clothing, a safe place to live. When you're worried about the basics, it's harder to learn. If you can read and write, you can help these kids, which is a tremendous investment in our community. If you've got some time and want to be a part of the solution, the Capital Area Literacy Coalition could use your help. Visit thereadingpeople.org for details. That's thereadingpeople.org for details.